So, you know, as I contemplate the subject of God's greatness, I acknowledge that I might be preaching to the choir. However, I hope to confirm, I hope to conform the concept of renewal as I was advised by Gwen, and with God's guidance and grace, we will do so. I submit to you this evening that very positively and very clearly, your concept of who God is the basis for your beliefs and convictions regarding Christian fundamentals. So, how great is your God? What is your conclusion regarding his attributes? What do you believe about God? Do you believe that God is omnipotent? If so, you believe that God is almighty, that he is infinite and unlimited in power and authority. Do you believe that God is omniscient? If so, you believe that God has complete and unlimited knowledge, awareness, and understanding, perceiving all things. Do you believe that God is omnipotent? If so, you believe that God is everywhere at the same time. The psalmist understood this. And here are some verses from Psalm 139. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it. You have encircled me. You have placed your hand on me. This wondrous knowledge is beyond me. It is lofty. I am unable to reach it. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, even the darkness is not dark to you. I will praise you, because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days are written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. Claire and I certainly understand the greatness of God. The kindness, the compassion, the caring. On December 5th of last year, I had an accident. An incident, okay. That's what the attorney says, he calls it an incident. And then I was a truck driver, had my own truck. I just delivered a load to a town called, or city called Conroe, Texas, about 35 miles north of Houston on Interstate 45, as Interstate 45 runs between Houston and Dallas, Fort Worth. My appointment was about 8 o'clock in the morning. It took them about 4 hours to unload me. So in the meantime, Claire and I always had our every morning phone call, making sure everything was fine, and I would tell her where I'm at and make sure she was okay, and it was just the routine that we had. I was finally unloaded around noon or so, and so I pulled away from the dock, pulled my truck up to a point, to an area that where I was out of the way, slid the tandems forward on the trailer, and I noticed I had a little bit of debris in the trailer, so I went up to the cab and got my broom, and I'm walking back around, and I see the forklift on his way, but as you know, those of you who have been around the trucking or transportation industry, you know, there are always forklifts everywhere. You don't pay attention to them. Well, I didn't pay attention to him either. So, as I'm turning around, facing the rear of the trailer, getting ready to climb in, I had closed the left-hand door because I used that as a grab handle to pull myself into the trailer. And I was just positioned, ready to go in when he hit me. He ran right into the back of my truck, And I was in the middle. He had, some of you who may know what totes are, they're those plastic large cases, cages about the size of pallets in dimension. And they have like a plastic or a nylon insert that you can carry liquid. And so fortunately he was empty, but he had three of them stacked on his forklift. And what he was supposed to do at that point is to drive backwards so he can see where it's going. He was apparently distracted. I don't know how you miss a 53-foot trailer that's 13 and a half foot high, but he did. And he squeezed me against the back of my trailer. I don't believe he knew that he hit anybody, but it did stall out his forklift. When he backed away is when I fell to the ground. I knew immediately what happened as soon as it happened. I also knew that I was dead. There was no way that I was going to survive that. So everything is getting white. And I'm waiting for Jesus to come. I really expected that Lord. Maybe he would send his angel or two. But I was waiting, and it never happened. I'm trying to catch my breath because I remember laying there thinking that if I can't breathe, I'm going to die this way. Fortunately, I was able to start breathing and grunting. And about the same time, I start hearing some voices. And I finally realize that they're talking about me. And so one of them said, "Oh my, look at his right arm. Look at the bones sticking out of his arm." And I knew then that I wasn't driving the truck out of there. And because initially I had hoped, as any of you who have been in accidents, you kind of think, well, I'm not hurt, I'll be able to get out or get out and walk as soon as I catch my breath or whatever. But I realized then that was not going to happen. Then my back started to hurt. And I'm thinking of Claire. I'm thinking about, man, she didn't bargain for this. And I'm probably going to be a paraplegic. And I've severed my spinal cord. And just kind of on and on as thoughts are flashing by. And then I hear something tells me to try moving your feet. And I could move my feet. And I just remember thinking, or whether I said it out loud or not, thank you, Jesus. And I knew at that point, I believed at that point that I was going to survive. I remember the ambulance coming. I remember the ride in. I remember them calling for a code blue. I remember getting to the emergency room and unloading it from that point. That's all that I remember. So this happened at noon on December 5th, and it took about 2 hours for Claire to get some idea. Do you want to tell? Yeah, go ahead.
He's a little taller than I am. I get this call. We just talked an hour prior, and it was from the company to which he was leased, because he was an independent driver. He said, "It's been a bad accident." I said, "Oh, yeah. We don't know exactly what happened, but here's the phone number you need to call." I'm calling Texas. The man answered the phone. I said, "I'm Mrs. Yoder. My husband's just been hurt there, and I'm trying to find out some information." "Well, I didn't see it, so I don't know anything." He didn't want to commit. He handed the phone to a law enforcement officer who says to me, "It's pretty bad. He's got this, this, and this." And he was talking to the paramedics who are working on him. He's talking to me. I'm talking back to the law enforcement officer, and it's back and forth. And finally, the law enforcement officer committed enough to say to me, "It looks really bad, and he's going to such and such hospital, and you need to call the emergency room, and here's the phone number. Give them 5 minutes to get there." I gave them 5 minutes to the second. And I called them, and I said, I'm Clara Yoder. My husband's supposed to be coming there. He's been in a bad accident. Yes, ma'am, they're just rolling him in. We haven't had time to evaluate him yet. You need to wait for about 2 hours and call us back. Well, bless their little hearts. That's a Southern expression. I'm from Georgia. Bless their little hearts. A Dr. Dindy called me and said it's pretty serious. And it was. He had 6 surgeries in 7 hours in the ER. Dr. Dindy said we've got him stable, but he's critical and you need to come now. And I said, I'll throw some things in the car and I'll head out. He said, no, come now. Well, if you've ever tried to get on an airplane in Atlanta and go anywhere, you know that's not a fast or a quick process. I could have driven as long as the time it took me to get on the airplane, get to Houston, no rental cars, get a taxi, go 40 miles to the hospital. So I walk in, he's in ICU, where are you? He's in ICU, ventilator, tubes everywhere. Of course, he can't communicate. They've got him so heavily sedated. And I walked over to him. I took a deep breath because I kind of knew. Now, I'm a retired United Methodist pastor, so I've been in the hospital with a lot of people, with a lot of things going on. But this one was personal. And I walked over to him and I said, it's bad. It's going to be a long journey, but you're going to be okay, and God's got this. And when I said God's got this, very slightly did he move his head. We know what these scriptures mean.
We have had lots of time, including the time that we were there, to think and see God's hand throughout this whole event. As I was thinking about what God might have in mind for me, or why he kept me here on earth, what would be the reason? And I was actually discussing this with several of the nurses and so on, because there were quite a few believers in the hospital. And one of them said, oh, God has something pretty major in mind for you. I'm thinking, oh, yeah. Well, how am I going to find out what that is? But just about, very soon after that, it occurred to me, that's not the point. The point is that I need to be faithful in every opportunity that God provides. And I have learned that our story, which we've had an opportunity to tell a few times, has impacted and has impressed. I'm not sure exactly how or why, but it's our intent to do what we should do, do what we ought to do, do what we're led to do, and believe that God's Spirit will move. And we hope that this will be a good story. Now, it's not over. As eventually my airway was removed and I was able to talk, and it was interesting, during shift changes, the nurses would have, of course, their updates that they would do between shifts, and there would occasionally be one or two that would come into my room and look at me, and they'd just kind of whisper, like, wow. And eventually, when I realized what they were doing, I would motion them over and say, yeah, I know, this is a miracle, isn't it? You shouldn't be alive. You shouldn't be here. This is amazing. And so that word spread through the hospital. We had people, it was amazing, the people that came just to look at you. And it was even more amazing then as we were able to talk to the nurses and the nurses' aides and so on. I could tell that this was clearly a melting pot of people from all over the world. And since I like to hear stories, I so appreciate hearing stories and testimonies, and so I would ask you, tell me the story about how you came from, wherever you came from, to this country. Every one of them would want to tell you. They would have, there were some incredible, incredible stories. And then the next question that I learned to ask was, well, when was it that you got this burden in your heart that you knew that you wanted to be a caregiver? And incredibly, everybody knew that time, knew that point. Some would say, well, it was when I was a kid and I saw this, or I saw it on TV, or my mother was sick, or something. Or maybe a teenager, the same thing. Or maybe, and there were people there who were in their second and third vocation, who remembered how, when they got this urge. So that then led to a segue to talk about other things, including spiritual things. And that was the most amazing thing to me, is how these people responded to our discussion regarding miracles, and regarding why I'm here, and regarding how much I appreciate them, and it was just on and on. So we finally were able to leave the hospital. Claire was told to pack and stay there for 2 to 3 months. I left 2 days before 6 weeks. It was amazing, the healing that was happening, the work that they did as far as the physical therapy. And in fact, I was able to go straight home. I didn't have to go to a PT center of any nature. And of course, Claire was the ultimate nurse. But
you got to know how miraculous this was. He had a fractured left eye socket, multiple broken ribs, collapsed left lung, 2 broken vertebrae, which caused a ruptured aorta. Literally a ruptured aorta. Twice in the emergency room, his blood pressure went to 0/0. They were pumping blood into him 17 units in 17 minutes with a special machine they had at the trauma hospital. His right arm was totally destroyed. He now has an implant as an elbow, rods, screws. His wrist was totally compromised. He had a rod from here to here for 4 months so the wrist could heal. And he's right-handed, so you know what I got to do for him. And with all of these injuries, all this trauma, see, that part he left out. That's what makes the 6 weeks so miraculous.
Thank you.
And he got out of his back brace after we had been home for about 2.5 months. We had 3 confirmations from 3 different doctors within a week who don't know each other and did not consult with each other to walk in and say, your back is healed.
So then, in May, we were invited, this is a good point, we were invited back out to Texas to the hospital to participate in a trauma celebration that they do on an annual basis, where they have awards for the various nurses and departments and so on. But we were the featured survivor, I guess you could say. And so we had maybe 10 minutes just to tell them how much we appreciated them, how good they were to me as well as to Claire, because Claire was there every day from 9 in the morning till 6 in the evening. And the nurses were very good to her as well, and others. And so then, during that particular presentation that we had, we told them that we knew that they were God's hands and God's heart to me. And while we knew we couldn't browbeat the subject, we wanted them to know what we believed about why we were there, and that they were the reason and that they were God's hands, which is the reason that we were there. There were tears. There were people who were crying. There were people who walked up to us afterwards and told us the story about what they knew, how they, especially from the emergency room and from ICU. The stories were amazing. And so, indeed, I believe that one of the reasons why I'm here today was to be there then. God's hand was there. God's spirit moved among those people. It was incredible. I want to close. Do you have anything else?
Yeah,
oh. All right. Time's up. I had a friend who sent me a card. I hadn't seen him in over 15 years. And he sent me a card that had this particular portion in it. It said, "The weary wind gave up and spoke, 'How can you still be standing, oak?' The oak tree said, 'I know that you can break each branch of mine in two, carry every leaf away, shake my limbs, and make me sway.'" But I have roots stretched in the earth, growing stronger since my birth. You'll never touch them, for you see, they're the deepest part of me. Until today, I wasn't sure of just how much I could endure. But now I've found that thanks to you, I'm stronger than I ever knew." Thank you.